You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
For so many years, Aslo, at ESPN, we, because the Panthers always kind of stunk, they never made it to the playoffs, never won playoff games. So the entire time we were at ESPN, our entire hockey conversation for 8 years would be some form of, aren't the playoffs great in hockey? And then we'd move on. We wouldn't talk about any of the details, even though right now in hockey, you have six or seven teams that any of us could say, wow, those are great teams, championship-worthy teams, and it's the first time we've ever said it about our local hockey team.
And that's the goal for our local hockey team. The goal, it's that or it's a failure.
It is. I wouldn't say it's a failure because I can appreciate a team being great, and I can also appreciate if hockey happens and they run into Vegas again or something like Vegas again because, what you know, the Rangers are also good. They can get knocked out, and I will be disappointed, but I will understand that they are still great, and hockey just happened to them. It will be my pleasure to watch them eliminate this champion in a sport where they made, Tampa made hockey matter in Florida, and now the lower tip of the peninsula is feeling what is a legitimate hockey town in hockey. No, we want to end them.
Yes.
We want to finish them. We wanted to begin with
it's
them,
our
and
time.
We want to end their reign.
Your time
a lot of
up.
Sensation right now down here.
And on top of that, what you get is, and this is the part of playoff hockey that I really love, okay? Because the goal horn is the best sound in sports. It's the best. When it's on your side, there is no better sound. So you get three goal calls from last night, and you got Roy Bluffin over here with
I'm Bluffin?
You're crazy,
Roy,
man.
Go sit in the penalty box. Just
You're
go
crazy.
Sit in the penalty box, Roy. I'm
Why?
Tired of your bravado.
Okay.
Roy, because you're bluffing about you're watching overtime hockey and you're like, I'm totally relaxed.
You're allowed to be nervous.
You're not human and you don't care enough if you're someone who's not scared in those moments. There is no sports fan so psychotic as to be Roy, the one who always fails as a Panther fan for 30 years, but now suddenly totally confident that hockey can't happen in overtime. My team's always going to win. It's bull.
You've known me for 20 years. Have you ever seen me nervous at all?
Wow. The anxiety, though, when you're watching last night, the anxiety is good. Like, I'm watching in horror the entire game, but it's my drugs. The anxiety during big Heat playoff games and big Panther games, I'm a mess the entire game, but it's my drugs. I want it pumped right into my veins, and I can only enjoy the final result after we wind up winning. I love the anxiety. You're sitting there and like, eh, it's cool. I don't even care.
Doesn't even make sense.
Like, the anxiety is so good.
Yeah. But who are you talking to here? You're talking to me. Wait, come on.
When we went to Toronto for Luongo getting inducted, I'm pretty sure you called some guy we were interviewing the wrong name.
No, I didn't call him by it. It was Brian McCabe. I didn't call him by the wrong name.
Weren't you nervous?
No, I was cold. No. It was cold. 25 he was cold. Degrees. He was I was cold. Cold. It was freezing.
So you're now claiming that you're never nervous, Roy.
Yeah.
I don't think you're experiencing it at cold the height cold. That you could be experiencing it.
Well, he's a journalist, guys. You forget this. Yeah. Like, you think he's just some sort of fan.
That's
he's
right,
impartial.
Billy.
He's up in the press box.
I get what Roy
he doesn't
is
root
saying.
For anyone.
Yeah, Roy, it's cold in this room, and sometimes my teeth chatter, and it makes my voice kind of shaky when I'm talking, and it probably sounds like I'm scared, but I'm actually just freezing because you guys keep this room at 65 degrees like it's an ice rink, and it's not. I'm with Roy. And also, if you're giving 2 minutes for bravado, then I'm sorry. Half of this room should not be in here. This is the most bravado-filled Miami Heat room in the entire peninsula,
well, Jessica,
full of sensation.
So thank you for bringing this up, because I don't feel there has been one voice has been missed in the last 3 days of what has been the crazed insanity of the Miami Heat have played a single playoff game, and this room is threatened to be destroyed from the insides on the level of disagreement about what this team is. Jessica, I have not heard from you as someone who I have noticed when this show suffers some sportsdom, you enjoy it in a way that makes me happy to see.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That our misery, that you speak on behalf of the audience in really relishing that it is funny when teams that are cared about in here lose. And what Roy is denying the audience is, I'm never scared. I'm never nervous. If I give you no emotions, you can never hurt me because I'm never nervous, when you know good and well that Jeremy cares about the results and is himself at the end of games.
No, he's also impartial.
It's not satisfying to root against the Florida Panthers at all. The Florida Panthers carry none of the Miami Heat rabid fan base vibe that the Miami Heat do. Right. Mostly because Roy is their spokesperson.
Less obnoxious.
On this show,
and less obnoxious.
Well, we know we've been losers for 30 years.
Yeah. That helps. I mean, there's really nothing. I'm not going to laugh at the Panthers. I'm on at RAR. I'm a Panthers fan.
Whoa, to Jess's point, I hear a lot of this from our audience. They root against the Heat, but a lot of them have like taken the Panthers as their team.
America's team?
Yeah, I mean, like our fans. Well, I think our fans tend to root for the Panthers and root against the Heat. Because of how we talk about them.
I think that that's fair. And if we're talking about the Heat, to be fair, the Heat are playing Boston right now. Yep. And really, it would be funny if both teams could lose the series somehow. Because I think most fans of the show would probably fall into like, Boston or Miami? I don't know.
Be funnier
if
Boston
one
lost,
wins
though.
The
but funnier if Boston lost.
Again,
at this
really
point,
funny.
It would
again.
Be hilarious if they lost
funnier,
the series.
Yeah.
Well, funnier if Boston lost, but I don't think that our audience, the entirety of it, because we've got a much larger audience than just Miami, I think they'd be perfectly happy with the Heat being eliminated today so that we would stop talking about all of it, because they don't want us to become a sports show rabidly emotional about bullshit. But here is the voice of Heat fandom as expressed by Jeremy.
Let's go!
And it's annoying and everyone hates it. Jessica, you just did your roar in a way that was so indifferent. It was so casually indifferent that it gave me nothing. I'm going to need better passion from you. If we're going to have a Jeremy's...
Let's go! You
can't Zaz, help me out. How do I do this?
Give us a real roar. Let's go! Put some bass in. Yeah, you got to feel it in your throat. Put some bass into your voice a little bit here.
Yeah,
nobody's
careful.
Scared of that thing.
Let's
you just
go!
Did there.
But it was indifferent. You'd agree that there wasn't a lot of passion behind your roar.
Yeah.
Come on, it's an endangered species. Get behind it. Let's go!
I think if I had to rank it, Dan, it would be like Hurricanes. No one wants to see them win anything.
God.
The Heat are like, that's a 1A, 1B situation with the Hurricanes and the Heat.
That's
but
the
then
list.
It's like
it's a good list.
The Marlins, I think Dolphins maybe third. Marlins and Panthers, it's like if Billy's happy, then I'm happy. If Roy's happy, then I'm happy. If anyone else is happy, I'm probably not happy. Sorry.
It's a great list. I can't believe that in some ways here, sports has brought you guys together, and where Mike Ryan resides and Jeremy reside, it threatens to tear us all apart.
Wait, I have a question. Roy, if you like are impartial and you don't feel like the nervousness, or are you allowed to feel happiness if they win? Or are you not allowing yourself happiness either?
Yeah, what's your reaction when they score the winning goal in overtime? Like, is it a fist pump? What do you do?
Yeah, it's
being like the quiet in the press box guy?
Yeah, I'm crying.
Well, you can't do that.
Well, it's like Dan, the fist pump, when Udonis Haslam scored that bucket.
I imagine it's like, you know how like, Dan, you said your dad and Witty both do the thing where they flip people off under the steering wheel. It's like that, but it's a fist pump like under the steering wheel. You're like,
Well, you got to be careful in that press box. Tim Reynolds will come for you.
I don't think you're enjoying it the way that you should be enjoying it, dude.
Well, I'd go another route. If you want to judge his fandom, and I understand what you're saying has some disappointment, because yes, he's got to be objective. He's a journalist. I maintain that one day that name, his name and a picture will be somewhere in the press box saying this is a Roy, this is where Roy ate potato chips cathedral.
Right next to Jeff Rimmer.
He's been going for a long time. But what you're describing, what you're describing is how you watch games is absolutely, to me, feels like you're Dexter of sports fans.
Whoa,
like,
oh, wow.
Like there's a psychosis there that I don't even understand, that you don't fear or care enough to be broken by. It's overtime, and I know I'm unreasonable about how I care about this. I'm scared of it. This is not fun. Why? I'm an adult. I'm a parent. I shouldn't care about this way. But my sports identity is tied up right now in whether we're 1-1 or 2-0, and I'm scared of the Tampa Bay Lightning because all I've seen for the last 5 years is they win in these spots.
So I'm a sociopath, basically.
I'm saying
no, you're lying. It's very clear you're lying. It's not the truth. You're like, you would shoot yourself in the foot with a nail gun and be like, that didn't hurt. And then you'd bleed out and die. And that's how you'd get your face in the Panthers press box because it happened at the Panthers arena. But like, you enjoy this. You like this. You're nervous when it happens. You're lying.
Are you embarrassed that if you get excited, people are going to look at you like, wow, you're a super unprofessional guy? Are you embarrassed by that?
No, that's just not how I go through life. I'm very even keeled and very stoic person.
All right. Cause like I was on the Heat broadcast for 13 years. We won I got two championship rings. I'm a 2-time champion broadcaster.
Mentioned that already.
And
we've established that.
I was still a maniac sitting there next to Mike Inglis and John Crotty. Like, you all know who I am, right? I'm not hiding anything. I think you could get excited, man. They're like, oh, yeah, it's Roy.
He's judging your lack of joy, Roy. He's saying Roy's joy is something that you're doing it all wrong.
What are we doing it for otherwise?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm keeping my joy internal. How about
why?
That? Is that better for you?
Why?
Zaz, you can't hide yours. That's why.
Externalize it.
Well, you're right. I can't. And you know what? You put me here. You know who I am. I don't need to introduce. You know what this is.
I definitely knew who you were this morning when I said the name of the guy who runs HBO.
Zaz Lau.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's go!
Cheaters never prosper!
Speaking of Joy, also Sports Bang alum.
That's correct. Joy Taylor, one of the many proud South Florida sports stories.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln, or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. I probably have thought about the UFC one, to be honest. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you got to listen to Six Trophies, where Jason and Shea serve up the biggest moments from all around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out 6 pop culture themed trophies for 6 basketball related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington and Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head scratching moments from all around the NBA. This playoff season, you want to make 6 Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow 6 Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Don Levitard.
While I was gone, a third Zagacki was born, and I think I heard, correct me if I'm wrong here, Jeremy trying to partake in a fourth Zagacki, and I am here for a future where I am surrounded by a chorus of clucking Zagacki.
Stugatz.
You know what it means when you have four Zagackis, Dan.
You don't
have one.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Chris, are you going to go to your whiteboard now and tell us what you were dealing with in traffic?
Yes, I am. Okay, here we go. We have a classic right here.
That traffic's on the record.
We got two lanes of cars. This went back dozens of cars. Two lanes of cars here.
Those rectangles are cars.
Yes. Well,
okay.
Hold on a second. Where
tell
is?
Us straight?
Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah. Where's your car?
What? You said there was a guy up on the curb. There's nobody up on the curb.
I'm trying to get there, folks.
Also, like, the parking lanes. Like, are they here and you're already, like, in the thing? Like, is this a canal into the lanes or no?
A canal.
I don't know what you're talking about. So this is a curb. Yeah. There's a curb right here. There's two curbs.
Okay, just give me a second,
Chris. Curb your enthusiasm for a second.
Yeah. For people who don't understand where this arena is, because this is funny. This is swampy marshland. This arena is sinking.
Yes, Dan, it's Florida.
Physically into the earth.
No, but this is the Everglades.
No, but this has nothing to do with this story.
Right? Right? The Everglades have nothing to do with the story?
It does. The reason that it has something to do with the story is only what I'm about to tell you, which is this is the vastest of parking lots that has as many exit ramps as you could possibly have in the history of South Florida. Nothing has been built better than this in terms of getting traffic out of a place because it's the Everglades. There's space for miles. It's just sinking into the sea.
And I found one of the rare lanes where they're converging. It's two lines of cars right here on the left, right here on the right, converging into one. So when you're exiting up top here, there's only one lane of cars.
This is past the point of the different lanes of parking spaces, is what I'm asking.
This is just leaving a parking lot.
No, I know, but this is like when you're in a parking lot at an arena, there's multiple lanes, and then you can kind of just cut in at any point. This is beyond that point.
Now, which car are you? Can you put like your initials, maybe?
That's a good idea.
I'll be here.
Put a little star.
A little CC on the left here. Okay, so this guy, old guy with his wife, was way back here, and he decided, I'm not waiting in this line. I am going to hop on this curb. So he had two of his tires here and two up
Be
on the
curb. Be careful for the canals.
So he's driving now. So he is skipping the line, and I'm sitting here, and I'm like, this mother, what does he think he's doing?
So now he's power, here. Really.
So
what
now,
kind of car was
so
it?
So he ended up right here, and this car decided, you know what? This guy's come far enough. We're not letting him in.
Yeah.
So we trapped this guy here, and all the cars started moving, and this guy who skipped like eight people was stuck right there. And when I got up
How did those cars behind that car move if that car was stopped there?
Because it was up on the curb, so people were still able to go, but people just had to do that thing where it's like
a bottleneck.
Guy set a pick. People were inching up, like people were on each other's asses. It was just, I am not letting you through. So I get up to the spot now. I'm, of course, not going to let him in either.
Shockingly, I'm following this.
But I have to say something. So I get up to this part. Once my car
Did anybody else say anything?
Nope, there was not a lot of comments.
You're the driver.
I'm the driver.
So you have to scream over a passenger.
I rolled down the passenger window.
So should things go awry?
And this guy, when he saw my window go down, he put his window down. And I go, cheaters never prosper.
Now, how much thought did you put into what you were going to say before? Like, was it the first thing that came to your mind? Ooh, let me say it.
It's just what I thought he was doing. I thought this guy was trying to cheat.
How much time elapsed in this whole process?
I would say the guy jumped the curb, and I watched him get probably for like 5 minutes. It took me to get up to him. For 5 minutes, I was watching everyone just like, nope, not letting you in, not letting you in. So when I got up there, I had to say something, and I said it. Cheaters never prosper. And I'm telling you,
where is that from?
It's just a saying I have.
Where did it start is what you're asking?
That's a phrase, right?
Yes.
And that's your saying.
It's my saying.
You're asking. No, it's a cliche. It's a cliche. It's not a Ten Commandment. Is it biblical, though? I don't think it's biblical.
Sure there's something in there.
And the guy's getting yelled at. A part that I didn't sell the first time telling this, the guy's wife is just yelling at him the whole time. She hates that he did the thing.
Okay, but this is where I think the sociology of this gets interesting, okay? Because you guys should be joyous. Everyone's leaving a Panthers game gloriously. We're slaying the dragon. This is a glorious time to be a Panther fan, but you are now yelling at somebody across other cars and across a passenger seat where I'm assuming you and your buddy, you've talked out, hey, look at this.
I think my buddy was saying not today.
Yeah, but you're
not today. Okay, so I think that was what he was adding.
Yeah, that's so much better.
But I'm telling you, the response I got from this guy, what I said was amazing.
He got him.
Cheaters never prosper. This guy yelled as angry as he could. I ain't cheating.
I think I would have been on his side. I would have looked at you like, what did you say?
I'm telling you, me and my friend, the rest of the way home, all we kept saying was, I ain't cheating.
I know, but he, I think
he's just like, why did you say that?
I think he got your ass. I think he got your ass.
No way.
Chris won this one for sure. Not pathetic.
Your ally, Jeremy.
Ally.
It was great.
Did you ever think of saying something else?
Yeah.
No. What
not
else
today is great.
Cheaters never prosper is exactly, that's a perfect saying
for
right there.
What did Lee Harvey Oswald yell when he shot Lincoln? Sic semper tyrannis. It's from Seinfeld.
Yeah, I would have went with what your friend said.
Yeah.
Not today is great.
Not today, pal.
With a finger wag, like a Matumbo finger wag, that would have been great.
Yeah, what you said, I would lose that.
Yeah. Don't do that one again.
Can you find for me the origins, please, of cheaters never prosper? Because I did just think it was something biblical, but it doesn't seem. It's the never prosper that makes me feel that way. I don't think it is. And so now I want to know what it is. Chris is saying, and it's ridiculous, he's saying, what else could be said? It's the perfect thing. It's not only
he's trying to cheat, and I'm letting him know, hey, you try to take a shortcut, not today.
You're getting to impart across two lanes of traffic your moral judgment.
I ain't cheating.
No, but your principled stand of that. Look, we might be in traffic, and I might be denying my joy to instead partake in rage. Not today, but also I'm going to infringe on all the things in your life by showing you you're a bad person. I'm a good one, and there's no prosperity in you being that kind of bad.
There's a Cheaters Never Prosper trivia team out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Not helpful. Not helpful.
I've got it from Oxford Reference, if you'd like.
boring.
The saying is recorded from the early 19th century, but a related idea with an ironic twist is found in John Harrington's epigrams of the early 17th century. Treason doth never prosper. What's the reason? For if it prosper, none dare call it treason.
That would have been better.
The Book of John.
Shall
Bible.
Not pass.
That would have been good.
I've noticed that Jeremy doesn't have any of the self-consciousness that professional broadcaster Chris Whittingham had about the pressure of reading, because Chris Cody has choked a couple of times under the weight of having to read for the show. When you were reading Old English with stumbles and the broadcaster in you, Chris Whittingham would have ravaged his own face off.
Persevered. That's how you got to do it. Look, when things are live, when you're going through a live broadcast, you have to just persevere whether there's a tumble or not. These are the types of things that you learn if you're a professional broadcaster, like me. Not with a championship ring yet, though, Zaslow.
Have you ever felt, you don't feel the pressure of reading the way Chris Cody, we were overhearing one time, it's one of my favorite moments of vulnerability where we surreptitiously taped someone who did not know they were being listened to. And Greg, didn't you have some trouble with the reading in a way that was uncomfortable?
You mean the betting company that I read the ad for, and then I made a lot of money because of that bad read that I did? I knew I was being recorded. I didn't know you guys were watching me do it. I was doing an ad read, and I was just butchering it, and you guys saw me on Zoom just like mother-effing myself because I couldn't read.
Well, which one feels worse, though? The pressure of reading?
I'm much better at it now. Like, we're about to do Against the Spread in a little bit. I'm going to crush that read. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
You ready to draft cranks right now?
He also made, to what he said, a lot of money. So how much could he really feel bad about that?
Well, just the vulnerability of reading is something that people are here around here are self-conscious about. Okay, yeah, he did prosper.
It's time for Against the Spread. And it is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Roy, get us going.
All right, we got game two of the Kings and Oilers tonight. The Oilers won 7-4 in game one. I think that's going to continue. Go with the Oilers as a favorite by 1.5 goals against the spread.
Against the spread.
Jessica.
Roy, it's always going to be joyless.
Tonight, Heat Celtics. 14.5 points is the spread. I'm taking the Heat.
Why
are you taking the Heat? Any particular reason?
I mean, no.
Okay.
There you go.
they narrowed the gap in the fourth quarter, and then they widened the gap again, but they narrowed it for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed on behalf of DraftKings that we don't have better gambling analysis.
Well, you know they want people to lose, right? That's how they make money.
Whoa! All right. Nope. We've got the Oklahoma City Thunder and the New Orleans Pelicans tonight.
Norgan.
I think the...
Hold on, Tone. Hold on.
Trying to save a teammate here, Dano.
I heard you stumbling through it.
Ah.
Billy, go walk in traffic.
Whoa!
I take the Panthers plus 1.5. Against the spread.
The dogs?
Against the spread, against the spread, against the spread.
Also, put it on the poll, Juju. Does DraftKings want you to lose?
Let's not put that one up.
Why not? Rising executive Billy at Metalark Media.
I think that was enough. We could leave it there.
Why? Why shouldn't he sink into it?
All right, I'm taking the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think Shane Gillis-Alexander is doing an incredible job. I think he broke the Pelicans' spirit.
Wait, who?
Shane Gillis-Alexander.
Yeah, you know.
You know, Dan.
Come on, Dan.
Don't act brand new, Dano. Brand new with me. Stop that. Oklahoma City Thunder. -7.5 tonight. I'm taking the Thunder.
Norgan.
I'll get the spread.
Why?
Why?
Yeah,
they broke their spirit. I said that already.
Okay, so that's
last game, Shane Gillis-Alexander hit a clutch shot to break the Pelicans. It was a neck-and-neck game.
Right.
Sorry. Detroit, Michigan fell. It was a neck-and-neck game. Shane Gillis-Alexander broke their spirit, and I think they're going to cover 7.5 tonight.
Okay, so broken spirit
broken
is the
spirit,
analysis.
Exactly. No Zion Williamson, broken spirit.
The part that I'm trying to explain to you guys, okay, as someone who is compromising whatever journalistic integrity I have left in my career, shilling for a good old gambling company. We want you to bet on these games because it is fun to bet on these games. But everywhere else on the DraftKings Network, DraftKingsNetwork.com, the analysis is exceptional. In the lineup of things that we have happening here, we're the outlier with we come in here and give you gambling advice. Juju's very good at it. The rest of our show stinks. Juju takes great pride in it. Juju does analysis. Juju is careful about it. The rest of our team is just reckless with other people's money. And Billy's reckless enough to tell DraftKings, tell everybody, the great big secret that the gambling companies want you to lose.
So you don't think the Heat are going to cover?
I don't know. I'm torn on that one.
Zaslow, bring us home.
Yeah, I do. I'm actually going to treetop what Tony said there. I think the Thunder win big tonight. Blowouts breed unders. So under 211.5. Thunder Pelicans.
Against the spread.
Against the spread.
Against the spread. Against the spread.
Broken spirit, right, Zaslow?
Against the spread.
Okay, but why are you guys doing this? The real analysis of that game, because the Pelicans without Zion, I've been as interesting as the basketball playoffs are to me, the fact that so many people are hurt at the starting point of this so that we can see whether OKC is really going to be tested, because as a young team, I only see two teams that I think can play with the Celtics, and I think it's Denver and OKC, maybe Minnesota.
Ooh, yeah, thank you, Dan.
Maybe Minnesota, but those are the teams that I think might give Boston a challenge, but the knock on OKC is they're young, and everybody's waiting around in their first playoff game to say, wait a minute, how'd you get held to the 90s once it becomes playoff basketball and now the refs are going to hold the game in the mud?
Yeah, I'm not with you on the Thunder. I think the Thunder get past this series. I think that was the game they, you know, had a little bit of scare put into them. But for me, it's Denver, and I think Minnesota can give Boston a run as well. Not OKC.
Phoenix is going to make it look different in Phoenix.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
Not taking that against the spread.
That's always the analysis when anyone is up 2-0. That's always the analysis, and then somebody steals a game.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Don Lebatard.
Billy, somebody has written in here. I need way more.
I'm sorry.
I just said in his headset, haven't you been to all of them too?
It sounded like you were speaking aloud. My bad. Totally on me. That's 100% on me.
All right. Yeah. Stugatz.
But that goes without saying.
Right.
That it couldn't happen.
Well, now he said
it. Well, he didn't say it.
He's on the again.
Greg, my apologies.
He apologized. I mean,
Greg.
Sincerely.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
This man is a Super Bowl champion. He is somebody, usually in the shadows, these offensive guys. Now that there are Kelseys roaming around, some of the interior linemen are showing their personalities and stuff. But this guy has interest in video. He has interest in being creative. And last year, he had a four-year deal with the Cincinnati Bengals. So thank you, Orlando Brown Jr., for joining us. And I just wanted to show you something as we got started here, because Chris Cody's father, Greg Cody, is very proud of his mock draft. Chris, what is this grainy video you're showing us from 1964 here of your father promoting? What's he promoting?
Well, first I want to tell Orlando that my dad is a writer for the Miami Herald. It'd be weird if my dad, just like this, my producer's dad wanted to do a mock draft.
Okay, so sorry, Orlando, a person who does the show, our show, has a dad figure who's an old-timey newspaper writer. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. And he is excited about his mock draft. He tries to predict all the first round picks, and he's trying to get his audience excited for the draft. So I want to play this video for you and get your thoughts on it.
All right.
Hey, Instagrammies, Greg here. It's a big day. It's a big day. It's release day for my 33rd annual NFL mock draft. Find it online. Find it online. Book it. Bank it. It's big. It's extremely big, and I got nothing else to say.
He's out of
mock
material.
Draft.
So bad.
That kind of thing.
Orlando, please tell me how sad that video was.
So bad.
I mean, that is some funny shit, though. That's some funny shit right there, though. That's top of the line. And he's talking that shit. He must know something.
He doesn't know anything.
It's extremely big.
Extremely big. Holy cow.
Hey, yo. That's,
all right.
If you wanted to make your front camera that blurry, what would you put, like, lotion on it? Like, what do you think is on the front of his camera?
That's the first thing that came to my mind. He must have just took a phone call or something. I was like, I mean, there's just no way in hell. I'm like, but you know, sometimes, man, older people are like that. How old is your dad, bro?
69.
Shit, makes plenty of sense. Makes plenty of sense. Hell yeah, I love it.
Do you find, and I love when there's a personality like you hiding in the trenches, because the offensive linemen have to be so careful about, I don't know, they seem very scared publicly about causing a distraction. So it's pleased me to see you exploring your creative side, because you're like, okay, I've had great success. Now I can have the confidence of playing around with some creative things. It's nice to see, and it's rare. It's a few people get that kind of confidence this early in life.
Yeah, well, man, I've been very blessed and fortunate. You know, obviously my dad played in the NFL. My mom has a history in broadcasting. So I feel like I spend a lot of time being myself. And something my parents always vocalized to me was be yourself and be expressive in that way. And, you know, kind of what you guys see with the mini mics, or anytime I'm mic'd up, messing around with teammates or anything like that. That's just me being me. And I've always been like that, man. You know, it's weird because offensive linemen, as you noted, you know, they get the stigma of being the quiet guy, the more reserved people, you know, and it's not that I'm necessarily attention seeking, but I'm going to be me. And, you know, I'm a somewhat of a loud personality, not annoying, but a loud personality.
It's so rare, though. It really is unusual. Yeah. You don't fit necessarily, do you? Because there are so few I've met in my entire career that are this comfortable being like, okay, I don't need to be as reserved as everyone at this conservative position tends to be.
Yeah, not at all. You know, and, you know, also, too, you know, you got to keep in mind, offensive line is such a physical position. And you're always battling. And, you know, this person that you guys see right now, I mean, I'm not this dude on the field when the helmets and shoulder pads come on, you know, and my competitive side comes out, and I'm able to be somewhat the aggressive side of myself. And so, you know, I think all of that stuff kind of goes hand in hand.
OB, when you talk about the mic'd up thing, How much, what percentage of it doesn't make air? Like the stuff that you hear and say inside the trenches, inside the line, can you give us like a little bit of a taste of it?
Oh, B.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, I've had some battles, man. One of my favorite guys to compete against is my teammate now, Trey Hendrickson. And we've had some battles talking plenty of cash money shit. And, it gets really vulgar in there. It definitely gets personal, but not to the extent of anything extremely disrespectful, more so within the game. But I mean, it's a lot of trash talking, man. I've guys have said all different types of things. And, you know, a lot of times, to be honest, man, some of your better players are normally your best shit talkers too. So
how about this? Me and you, we do a side business together, right? We take this to the NFL. We give them the mic'd up rated R version. Right?
Love
but you
that.
Have to put it behind a paywall, and then we get to hear what you guys actually say, but you got to pay for it.
Oh, man. I mean, dude, that would do numbers, bro. That would do numbers, and I'm with that.
How's your trash talk in traffic? We were talking earlier about I had an incident where I hit somebody who was trying to, you know, cut a bunch of people off. I hit somebody with cheaters never prosper. How do you feel about that one?
That's crazy.
Bro. I'm not a big road rage guy. I kind of got a lot to lose. I'm also big as hell. So, I don't think anyone necessarily will use fists to fight me. But I'm not a big trash talker in traffic. I have had the bird thrown up at me a few times. But that quote, that's a hell of a quote, though. I don't know what I would respond to that with.
Well, what the guy responded with was,
I ain't cheating.
That's funny as shit.
So what do you do when people kind of start something with you because you're so big?
And that is probably one of the most rare of occasions, man. I don't think anybody has done any stupid shit like that since maybe I was like 13 years old. Very, very, very rare situation where someone is going to approach me in that manner. In my adult life, even in college, they'd be a f***ing fool.
Have you ever had a situation where you're in a spot where there's an altercation and you're sitting? So you don't do anything aggressive, but just to give the idea of your size, you just simply stand up and it all ends right there.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I can't really think of anything off the top of my head, but I think I'm definitely somewhat normal looking. You know, sometimes you see bigger people and they're kind of funny looking. You know what I mean? Like something's up. I don't know, like a funny feature, nose, ears, eyes, face looks weird and shit. I somewhat look normal. You know what I mean? So I think a lot of times what happens to me is, you know, people see me sitting down and then I stand up and they're like, holy f***, like you're way bigger than I thought you were.
That's always the response, I would imagine. I don't think anyone has any idea the size and strength of what has to be out there to win a championship. I don't think the average human being, can you articulate it to them?
Yeah, just in terms of size, like where do we?
Well, when it comes to you, the thing that I'm amazed by with everything you guys do is I don't know what someone like you, your build, what you find strong. Like when you're up against somebody, I would imagine when I'm watching football and I see Myles Garrett, I'm like, that person's just stronger than everyone he's playing against.
Yeah, he's a very strong individual. A lot of times for me myself, man. I'm a big dude and I pack a big punch. I'm heavy as hell. You know, I do a good job creating leverage with my hands and my hand and arm angles and things like that. But, you know, there are guys, man, and there are times where, I mean, a guy like Myles Garrett is incredibly strong. And, you know, that's more so his functional strength, you know, his ability to bend in the ankles, the knees, the hips, and create leverage through that type of movement and explosion. So, it's very – football, especially offensive line, offensive tackle is a very, very difficult position to play, period. But, man, every now and again, you run up against those freak athletes, man, and, you know, guys like Myles Garrett – I mean, incredibly strong football player.
Yeah, draft day is tomorrow. You were drafted. How stressful is that for someone who's in the process of being drafted?
Man, very stressful, man. For me, it's always so weird because for so long, you've been on the team. You know, I was in college for 4 years in high school, and, you know, it's like that transition to the pros, you know, is somewhat a little bit strange because it's a lot of uncontrollables, and it's a lot that you don't know that's going to happen. Or, you know, I was told I was going to be a top 100 pick. I could go anywhere between 20 and 100, you know what I mean? But it's that's a lot of picks, and that's also two different days. So, you know, it's a lot of uncertainty, you know what I mean? That kind of comes with it, man. It's extremely stressful in the weirdest way, but everything goes away, man, when you get that call. I remember getting that call from the Baltimore Ravens and, you know, seeing that 410 area code come up, man, and Ozzie Newsome on the other line. I mean, at that point, man, nothing else mattered, man. I was just happy to have the opportunity.
If you're a draft prospect, are you memorizing area codes so you know as soon as it pops up on your phone who it is?
Hell yeah. I got a call from Lincoln Riley. Coach Riley called me in the middle of like day two. And I can't remember. Maybe he had just spoke to a team or something. And he called me. And I remember like, because I had stepped away from the TV. It probably was, man, late second round at this time. And I like my phone was facing down and I was like, holy shit, who is it? It's like Coach Riley. I'm like, damn, what the hell does he want?
And, not today, you know, Lincoln.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, no, I kind of tried to keep up with the area codes everywhere.
There's a story of former player Larry Izzo having to use the bathroom, but he couldn't leave the field. So he had to poop in a bucket. And because he pooped in a bucket, he was able to stay on the field and again got a game ball for that. Have you ever witnessed something happening like that?
From Belichick, a game ball. Excellent question, Roy. Have you ever witnessed someone shitting on the sidelines?
I've never seen a shit on the sideline. I've seen someone shit themselves. I've seen somebody take on a double team and shit themselves. But thank God, I guess we didn't have white pants on.
Who shit
I can't.
Themselves? Who shit?
Not just name dropping. No name dropping.
Nah,
no
come
name
on.
Dropping.
It's cool.
No name dropping. No game. But you know who you are, and you know that you shit yourself. That's it, just plainly put.
Can I get from you? I don't know if I push it when you say that there are some guys who are shit talkers, because I believe that you would find stimulating the challenge of ad lib. If I made you put together a top five list right now of guys that you had to rank in order, shit talkers that you faced against, even though you're not much of a shit talker, you say they tend to be the best players. Can you put that list together for me? Would you give me five names in reverse order?
Yeah, I'll try to give you the best in order. Jadeveon Clowney.
Hold on. Yes, that's number five. Jadeveon Clowney. Do you have a memorable back and forth with him? He seems like a terribly menacing man.
Yeah, he is very menacing, man. We have a lot of competitive battles, but it's just a lot of shit talking out there. He's a great athlete. He knows he's a really good player, and he got a great feel for the game too, man. He's got a great IQ. So, you know, everything is, I guess you could say he's playing chess with his shit talking, but he's really good at what he does.
Okay, but he doesn't seem, I'd not heard before that, and this is a strong list if you're starting with him at number five, I'd not heard before that he was strong here. He seemed like the quiet type. He tells you how good he is.
Yeah. He's going to talk a little shit. You know what I mean? Like he might, you know, take a little shot here and there, all for fun and games within the game, man. But he's a guy, man, I love competing against. He's going to talk a little trash.
Number four.
Travis Kelce. I got to put T. Kelce in there, man. T. Kelce is going to talk that shit now. And he's going to do his job at a high level. He's going to let you know that he's doing his job. I probably should have him higher on my list, but I'm gonna leave him at four now. He's a baller now. I've seen him do some funny. I've seen him do some funny stuff.
A good list.
Say some funny stuff.
All right, number three.
I'm gonna go with Melvin Ingram. Melvin caught me plenty of times. I played with him in Kansas City. My rookie year, we played there on a Saturday night, and I remember he made a comment to me, and I kind of like. You know, the figuratively shot myself in the foot. I don't want to butcher it, but I think it was like he said something to me. He said something to me like, "You sorry as hell," and I was like, "You sorry as hell too." And he's like, "You admitted that you sorry."
And I was got like, you. Oh, shit.
It's like, all right.
Yeah, got you.
All right. You too, then.
you really got checkmated there.
Yeah,
you did admit you were sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But he's on my list. He's a dog. Number two, Brandon Graham. Philadelphia. Hey, everybody knows BG gonna talk that trash, man. He's a great football player. I mean, he's ton of respect just around the league. But I had a joint practices against him my second year up there in Philadelphia, and then I played him my third year, played him in the Super Bowl. Lot of shit talking between me and BG, man. Just a lot of back and forth. But it's all fun and games within the game, man. I got a lot of respect for him.
And finally, number one.
I got to go with my man, Trey Hendrickson, man. It's a dogfight. If Rocky Marciano talked shit, it'd be how Trey Hendrickson does it. I don't know what that means, but there you go.
It sounds good, though.
White guy talking shit.
There we go.
You're an ambassador for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. This is something that means something to you. I'm sure our audience fell in love with you. To learn more and help support the worldwide effort to end type 1 diabetes, you want to go. What is the website that you want people to go to? What is it that you want them to do?
Visit jdrf.org, man. Type 1 has pretty much been in my family, man, forever. My dad passed of ketoacidosis when I was 15, which is a form of a diabetic coma. My brother was diagnosed with type 1 at 8 years old. I was 9 at the time. Both of my grandparents, man, passed of complications of it. So it's just something that hits home for me, man. I've spent a lot of time around it. Man, one of my best friends, Mark Andrews, in Baltimore, who went to college together and played together in Baltimore. And, I've seen it firsthand with him being an athlete, and my brother. And so, it's a cause that hits home for me, man. And continuing to, fight to make things more affordable for diabetics, whether that be pumps, insulin, whatever it may be. And, just continuing to, look and research for a cure as well.
Do not let them alter you with their conservative ways, sir. Thank you for being on the show with us. Travis Kelce said that when you left Kansas City, he said, quote, "It hurts. It hurts my soul, man. It hurts my soul. It's like watching your best friend just turn evil on you." Yeah. You're somebody that he loves and loved, but now you're on the other team, so you got to go away. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.